WINC.
Miami, Fort Lauderdale.
WZTU HD2. WBGG HD2.
940 Winds. Miami Sports.
An iHeartRadio station.
I love baseball.
I see great things in baseball.
The Marlins Hot Stove with Kyle Seeloff
is on 1230 The Zone
and 940 Winds, Miami Sports.
Well, we are live from the 2017 winter meetings in Lake Buena Vista, Florida. This is the Marlins Hot Stove Show. I'm Kyle Seeloff. Great to be back with you on a Tuesday, week number two. Big show tonight. A ton to get to. Don't forget, the Marlins Hot Stove Show is brought to you by Geico. Saving you money on car insurance has been in Geico's wheelhouse for over 75 years. So after the game, get a quote at geico.com. Geico, so easy a caveman can do it. Marlins President of Baseball Operations, Michael Hill, coming up in just a couple of minutes. Had a chance to sit down with Michael just a short while ago, and there was much to talk about. We will dive into the deal last week that sent D. Gordon to Seattle, and of course, becoming official yesterday, the deal that sent Giancarlo Stanton to the New York Yankees. So all of that coming up in just a couple of minutes. Also joining us on the show tonight is Clark Spencer of the Miami Herald. He covers the Marlins all season long and, very cool, as of today, the newest president of the Baseball Writers Association of America. So, congratulations in order to Clark. That conversation is coming up shortly. All right, but first, let's get caught up to speed. Since we last joined you, the Marlins have made two prominent deals. Last Thursday, the Marlins acquired three players from the Mariners in exchange for second baseman D. Gordon. Miami acquired right-handed pitcher Nick Neidert, infielder Christopher Torres, and right-hander Robert Duggar. As for Nick Neidert, he checked in as the number two prospect in the Mariners system. That, according to MILB.com, the 21-year-old Georgia native spent most of the 2017 season with the single-A Modesto Nuts, where he was named the California League Pitcher of the Year after going 10-3 with a 2.76 ERA in 19 starts. Neidert has gone 18-11 with a 2.87 ERA in 55 professional starts. As for Christopher Torres, 19 years old, the seventh-best prospect in the Mariners system, he is a switch-hitting shortstop. He appeared in 48 games for the short-season Everett Aqua Sox last year. He hit .238, 8 double, 6 triple, 6 home runs, 22 runs batted in, and he had 13 stolen bases. Now, the final piece of that deal is right-hander Robert Duggar. He went 6-6 with a 2.75 ERA in 31 appearances between single-A Clinton and Modesto in 2017. So those three coming to the Marlins organization. Best wishes, by the way, to D. Gordon. Just a fantastic guy. He was a great guy to be around, always accommodating, and he was truly a terrific player for the Marlins. Hit .309 in three seasons with the Marlins, led the league in stolen bases twice, won the Gold Glove, Silver Slugger, and the batting title back in 2015. So, again, best wishes to D as he starts the next part of his career with the Seattle Mariners. Now, the big one that came down yesterday, the Marlins have acquired four-time All-Star second baseman Starlin Castro, right-handed pitcher Jorge Guzman, and shortstop Jose Devers from the New York Yankees in exchange for Giancarlo Stanton and cash considerations. Stanton's eight-year run as a Marlin comes to an end after a fantastic 2017 season that saw him blast 59 home runs. There was a lot of speculation in recent weeks, and ultimately the Marlins were able to move Stanton to the Yankees. That deal was made official yesterday. I will get through some of these prospects coming back to the Marlins quickly because I do want to get to that interview with Michael Hill here in just a moment. Jorge Guzman was ranked as the number two prospect in the New York Penn League, according to Baseball America. He was rated as the Yankees' number nine prospect, according to MILB.com. He posted a 5-3 record with one complete game and a 2.30 ERA in 13 starts with single-A Staten Island last season. He struck out 88, an average of 11.9 strikeouts per nine innings. As for Jose Devers, just 18 years old, he hit .245 with nine doubles, three triples, one home run. He had 16 runs batted in, and he also had 16 stolen bases in his first professional season of baseball. He split last season between the Dominican Summer League and the Gulf Coast League Yankees. Now, the Marlins did also get in return from New York four-time All-Star second baseman Starlin Castro, but there is speculation there could be a market for Castro. He could be flipped to another team before ever wearing a Marlins uniform, so time will tell on that front. Again, that is just speculation that has been out there. All right, so that gets us caught up to speed since we last joined you on Tuesday. Time now for a conversation with Marlins President of Baseball Operations, Michael Hill, who I spoke with just a short while ago here in Orlando at the 2017 Winter Meetings. Okay, joined tonight by Marlins President of Baseball Operations, Michael Hill, live from the Winter Meetings in Orlando. Michael, our first time having an opportunity to talk to you this offseason. We appreciate the time. It's a crazy 5 days at the Winter Meetings. A couple of moves have been made over the course of the last 7 days or so. Dee Gordon is in Seattle now. Giancarlo Stanton now a New York Yankee. Let's backtrack a little bit. The name Derek Jeter holds a lot of weight. He is now the CEO of the Miami Marlins. How has the transition been for you? Has there been any changes at all from the way that you've started to operate?
Well, Kyle, first I'll say hello and good to see you. I know we haven't got to visit yet this off season, but with the ownership change and you know the purchase of the franchise by the group led by Bruce Sherman and Derek Jeter, you know, from my standpoint, it's been business as usual. Derek is has been there every day and every step of the way. We talk every day. We talk about what the direction we're going to go as an organization, and to this point, it's been smooth.
It was relatively uneventful until last Thursday, and that's kind of when the biggest chip to date had fallen. You swung a deal. Dee Gordon, now a Seattle Mariner. Yesterday, it becomes official that Giancarlo Stanton is a New York Yankee. Before we dive into those moves from a baseball perspective inside, from a personal standpoint, Mike, and just the relationships you build with those guys, how tough is it to let them go?
Well, you know, in this business, you know, you spend so much time at the ballpark, you spend so much time around these guys, you definitely develop a fondness for a lot of them. You're involved with their scouting, with their signing, with their development. Some of them you're involved with the trades if they're acquired through trade. So there's definitely a relationship that you build with the players. But the one thing that I've always tried to do is keep things professional. And because I think everyone knows that obviously there is a business aspect to this game, and we have to accomplish, you know, whatever our goals may be. And, you know, with whatever the moves may be, my 23rd year in the front office. So we've seen, you know, many players come and go, and doesn't change the relationship that you have with them.
As much as you can divulge, we'll start with the trade for Dee Gordon. Why a fit in Seattle? How did that one come about for you?
Well, I think as we looked to the offseason and what our offseason goals were, I think we really took a step back and looked at where we were as an organization. I think we saw our 2017 season where we had a number of offseason or offensive successes. When you look at the MVP with Giancarlo, the Silver Slugger with Ozuna, a stolen base champion with Dee Gordon. We had a very good offensive team. Our pitching-wise, we didn't necessarily do what we needed to do, and the end result was 77 wins. I think when you look at where we were as an organization, we knew that organizationally we did not have a lot of depth in our minor league season and our minor league system, and so we made a conscious effort to try to build this organization from the ground up through our scouting and development, through our trades, and build it the right way. And the first step in that was Dee Gordon going to Seattle. Obviously, a lot of interest in Dee, given the year that he had, 200 hits, 100 runs, leading the league in stolen bases. So I think as we approached taking him to the marketplace, we looked to find the best deals. I didn't necessarily think that Seattle was a fit for him because they have Robinson Cano at second base. But you still make the phone calls nonetheless, and you reach out to your peers and you see, you know, where their interests lay. And they had interest in Dee. And as we have subsequently found out, they plan on playing him in center field, which I think he's very capable of doing. And I know he will do a tremendous job, you know, as a center fielder for the Seattle Mariners. But we were very excited with the return that we were able to get. We were able to add Nick Neidert, an upper level. He made it to size double A this past year as a 20-year-old starting pitcher that we think projects to a mid-rotation starter We were able to also add Robert Duggar, who pitched at high A, another pitcher that metrically graded out very well. So we're happy to add him. And then Christopher Torres, a shortstop. You know, we always put a premium on those positions up the middle. And we're excited to add Christopher on top of Nick and Robert.
That took care of things last Thursday. It becomes official yesterday. Giancarlo Stanton, now a New York Yankee. That it's been all the talk for the last month. There is now clarity on the situation. But, Michael, let me just ask you. Everybody knew $295 million over the course of the next 10 years. How difficult was this contract to move and to find a potential suitor, even given the no-trade clause, which I'm sure probably made it even a little more difficult?
Well, it's never easy to make any kind of trade when you think about, you know, what you're challenged to do. It obviously takes on a little more gravity when you're talking about a contract so long and so large in dollars. But we took a systematic approach. Obviously, you know, Giancarlo was a part of this process. You know, he had made it abundantly clear that he did not want to be a part of a rebuild. He had let me know clubs that he wanted to go to. And so that's where we started in terms of trying to find a match for him. At the outset, you know, the clubs that he wanted to go to, we weren't able to consummate a deal with those clubs. And so we expanded the pool, and we were able to come to an agreement with two clubs in St. Louis and San Francisco. Unfortunately, Giancarlo has the right to approve or deny, you know, waive his no trade. He chose not to, and he didn't go to either of those clubs. And we continued, as we do when you're in this position and you, you know, need to make trades. You stay in constant communication with your peers, and the second go around, there was a little more traction with the Yankees and momentum to get something done, and you know, late, I guess early Saturday morning, we were able to consummate a deal, and then, you know, present it to Giancarlo for his approval to waive his no trade, which he did, and then after a medical exchange, he was officially a Yankee.
Did you have a chance to chat with G?
Yes, I spoke to him throughout the process and spoke to him before it became official, and then obviously notified him that everything, all the conditions to the transaction had been satisfied, and the deal was official. And you know, you mentioned earlier about just the relationship that you have with players, and G is one of those that I've been with since 2007. I remember sitting in the stands watching him as a high school player at Notre Dame High School in California. I remember his first full season in Greensboro when he hit 39 home runs. I remember seeing him win a championship at Double A in Jacksonville. I remember the day we called him up in June of 2010. So a lot of memories that we talked about on that phone call. But, you know, it was one of those situations where he did not want to be a part of a rebuild, and he made that abundantly clear, and wished him nothing but the best, and that was it.
On the other side of that deal, though, you have to be extremely happy with what you got in return. A couple of young kids, Michael, but four-time Gold Glove and All-Star Award winner, Starling Castro. There's a lot of speculation on that front without diving too much into it. Talk a little bit about the return, a couple of the young kids, but obviously Starling Castro was a name that popped out. Do you foresee him at the moment, or the way things are progressing, to play second base for the Marlins this season?
Well, as you know, when you acquire anyone, you know, you're excited. And four-time All-Star Starling Castro has been a tremendous player in his still fairly young career, but very accomplished. Along with Starling, we were able to bring over right-handed pitcher Jorge Guzman and shortstop Jose Devers. And all three players, you know, we're talking about a Yankee organization that we're very familiar with, you know, given our new vice president of scouting and player development, Gary Dembo, who came over from the Yankees, and then our director of player personnel, Dan Greenlee, We very, very knowledgeable about their system, so we felt very comfortable with the names coming back and the potential that we were able to acquire, and we're very happy to add them into the system.
Chatting for a couple more minutes with Marlins President of the Baseball Operations, Michael Hill. Mike, the winter meetings are crazy. You head down to the lobby, there's hundreds of people, everybody's mingling, phones are ringing. What are the days like for you? How much time is spent on the phone or going to somebody's hotel room or to a particular area in which a team is meeting? What are these days like for you?
I guess the first thing you say is they're long. long days, and we have all of our baseball operations department here. So obviously, you know, there's a lot of brainstorming. There's a lot of kicking deals around. There's a lot of research, you know, as you research organizations, research players, research deals. And this is really where the bulk of the work happens when you're in this setting where you have all your peers here. They're here with their baseball operations departments. They're kicking around ideas. They're looking at ways to make themselves better. And you just hope that, you know, there's a fit and a match and an opportunity for you to do something that you think helps your organization.
One thing I've thought has been very interesting in talking with Marlins CEO Derek Jeter is that he will not use the term rebuild, and you're never going to go into a season looking to lose. It's just not the prerogative of anybody over the course of 6 months to go about it that way. With that being said now, whether Twitter may not always be right, but you see Marcelo Ozuna's name out there, Christian Yelich, JT Realmuto, Martin Prado, how will you go about the next couple of days, the next 48 hours, and into the off season and into spring training, looking to continue to rebuild a minor league system while staying extremely competitive at the highest level?
It's a challenge. And I think as we look to build this organization, we look to make deals that make sense for us, not just in the short term, but in the long term, because ultimately the goal is to build an organization that is sustainable and one that can win on a consistent basis. We have work to do to get ourselves there. Don't know how long that process will take, but I think that is the ultimate goal for us, to put ourselves in a position where year in and year out we feel like we're giving ourselves an opportunity to compete and bring a championship to South Florida.
Michael, on the way out the door, quick question for you. You know, maybe some veteran guys that are here now, maybe a Marcelo Ozuna or Christian Yelich. Do you reach out to them during times like this? And the reason I ask you is I don't know. Maybe it happens before. Maybe guys say, you know, if you're headed in a different direction, are you exploring something on my end? How does that go about, especially when you have players that are arbitration eligible? They're under team control for a long time.
I think it depends on the player. You know,
you have that relationship with the players, though.
I have a relationship with the players, but I would never call them to let them know. You know, their job is to play baseball and to hit home runs and strike people out. So, you know, it's my job to handle this aspect of the job. And if there is a need for me to call them, I do call them. But you know, from our perspective, we go about, you know, trying to do our job and find the best way to help this organization move forward and put ourselves in a position to be successful.
Well, the first 3 days have been crazy. You got two more to go. Get some sleep. Thank you so much. I know these days are crazy, Mike, but thanks a million. Our first time having an opportunity to chat with you, and I'm sure we will do so more leading up to the start of the 2018 spring training season.
Oh, my pleasure, Kyle.
Again, a big thank you to Michael Hill for taking some time with us. As you can imagine, it is a whirlwind of 4 days here in Orlando, 5 days at the winter meeting, so that was greatly appreciated, as we shall see not only what the next 48 hours have in store for the Marlins, but the duration of this offseason as well. Covered a lot there. Started with now working underneath Marlins CEO Derek Jeter. Michael Hill has been retained as the president of baseball operations. Chatted at length about the deal last week that sent D. Gordon to Seattle. Also talked about the much talked about for the last 4 to 6 weeks Giancarlo Stanton story. That has now been settled. Giancarlo Stanton is a Yankee. We will see what the next 48 hours have in store. Again, all speculation, but for those of you with Twitter, if you have been checking it out, there are a lot of names out there. Ozuna, Yelich, Prado, Real Muto, you name it, Tozawa, Ziegler. A lot of these guys have had names attached to possibly being dealt somewhere. We will have to wait and see. But, of course, the Marlins plan to build a minor league system quickly. It'll take a long time, but that has already started to come to fruition. You've seen a couple of deals, the Marlins sending D. Gordon out to Seattle, and now the Marlins get some prospects and Starlin Castro, a four-time All-Star, in return from the New York Yankees. So I will say it was something I was thinking about on the ride up here. It's going to be a lot of fun for some of you baseball nuts to follow some of these young kids the Marlins have acquired, may acquire, will acquire in subsequent deals. It's not something that has been discussed much in recent years, but it is the staple of some teams. If you look at some of those Astros teams, the Cubs, the Indians, fans would follow some of those young kids through the minor league system. So that is absolutely something to look forward to. And I will say this too, there's a lot of speculation out there, but if Marcell Ozuna doesn't go, Christian Yelich doesn't go, Justin Bour, JT Realmuto, Martin Prado, the Marlins still a very, very stable core of guys at the major league level. So before anybody jumps the gun and is ready to rid of everybody, there's a lot of winter left here. We will see what Michael Hill and company do, but it's certainly going to be interesting. And when we join you next Tuesday, we will see what kind of news has transpired over the course of these next 2 days. The winter meetings will wrap up on the 14th. That's in 2 days on Thursday. Hey, before we go to break, got to let you know that the Marlins are unveiling new online exclusive prizes every day through December 26th. That is just 14 days away. This is the Marlins Holidays offer. For your chance to win, be sure to follow the Marlins on social media. You can become a Marlins insider at marlins.com. You can check back daily as new prizes are unveiled every morning at 9 a.m. You can win the opportunity to throw out the first pitch next season. That's very cool. You can jet set off on a new vacation. You can host your group in a luxury suite for a game and much more at Marlins Park. So, for full details, go to marlins.com/holidays. That's H-O-L-I-Y-A-Y-S, holidays, H-O-L-I-Y-A-Y-S. The Marlins are new, unveiling new online exclusive prizes every day through December 26th on social media. So make sure you hop on that as we are around the holiday season. Time for a break. When we come back, we'll hear from Marlins CEO Derek Jeter when chatting with the media yesterday afternoon on the blockbuster deal that sent shockwaves throughout Major League Baseball and sent Giancarlo Stanton to the New York Yankees. You're listening to the Marlins Hot Stove Show on your home for Marlins Baseball, 1230 WBZT The Zone and 940 Wins.
Keep your hands on the hot stove with the Miami Marlins' Kyle Seeloff.
1230 The Zone.
And 940 Wins.
Miami Sports.
Hey, welcome back to the Marlins Hot Stove Show. Tonight, live from the winter meetings in Orlando, Florida. The Marlins Hot Stove Show is always brought to you by Geico. Saving you money on car insurance has been in Geico's wheelhouse for over 75 years. So, after the game, get a quote at geico.com. Geico, so easy, a caveman could do it. Thank you to Michael Hill for joining us at the top of the show tonight. A very good extended sit-down with the Marlins president of baseball operations. Again, we are live from the winter meetings here in Orlando, where we have seen a flurry of action throughout the course of the first 3 days of the winter meetings. The Marlins have traded Giancarlo Stanton. They traded D. Gordon last Thursday. Not a ton has come down the line today, but there are some really big names out there. Guys whose teams are they are said to be shopping. When we are done with Clark Spencer in a little while, the Miami Herald, and if we have time, I will divulge and share with you some of that information that has popped up today. A lot of it, by the way, can be found on the MLB At Bat app. But many of moves already made, some bigger than others. And, of course, the one that sent shockwaves throughout Major League Baseball did become official yesterday when the Marlins did deal Giancarlo Stanton to the New York Yankees. They acquired four-time All-Star second baseman Starlin Castro, right-handed pitcher Jorge Guzman, and shortstop Jose Devers. Now, following the move becoming official, Marlins CEO Derek Jeter joined a conference call with the media, and he was asked if there was anything at all he would have done differently throughout this process.
No, there isn't anything I would have done differently because, like I told you guys when I was down at the owners' meetings, you know, there's been constant communication between Michael Hill and Giancarlo, Michael Hill and Giancarlo's agent throughout this process. When you guys spoke to me at the owners' meeting, at the owners' meetings, you asked me if I had spoken to him personally, and I had not spoken to him at that point. I said if there was something talk about. I would speak with him. Since then, we have talked. We have met in person. So, no, there isn't anything I would have done differently throughout this process.
Well, very interesting stuff from the Marlins CEO, Derek Jeter. Again, Giancarlo Stanton, the New York Yankees, $295 million left on that deal over the course of 10 years. The Marlins get back Starlin Castro, Jorge Guzman, and shortstop Jose Devers. Derek was then asked why it was a good deal for the Marlins.
Yeah, this is a situation, Steve. We, you know, prior to us obtaining or acquiring the organization, we had heard that, you know, Giancarlo had said that he would not want to be a part of a rebuild. And, you know, those sentiments were relayed to us after we had took over the organization. And, you know, one thing that I understand is that, you know, you don't want to have someone that does not want to be with your organization. You know, he signed his contract, well-deserved contract. He had a no-trade clause in his contract. He earned it. He negotiated it. And so from that standpoint, it is what it is. So we met with him. We talked to him. We spoke to him our plans of going forward in the future. And you know, he wanted to continue his career elsewhere. So we went out. We spoke with teams and presented him with his options. And, you know, this is where he ended up going. So for us, it gives us flexibility. It gives us flexibility to build our organization, not just at the major league level, but our entire organization. And, you know, if you want to be sustainable as an organization, you have to be good from top to bottom or bottom to top. And we're going to invest in building this organization the right way so that we can year in and year out be able to compete.
Well, no doubt we've already started to see that take shape, acquiring prospects from both the Mariners and the Yankees for D. Gordon and Giancarlo Stanton. Now, one final thought from Jeter, and one question I thought was very good and most interesting. How tough is it to balance? Again, Derek has said, he said this from the onset, making unpopular decisions. There may be unpopular decisions made. So the question was, how tough is it to balance making those unpopular decisions while building an organization, all the while trying to keep a fan base engaged?
I think the one thing that you know, everyone needs to realize is this is an organization that has not been successful. They have not been in the playoffs since 2003. So, look, I understand, you know, I can't say I do understand. I don't understand how the fan base feels because they've been through quite a bit. You know, but for us here, we haven't been winning. So if you haven't been winning, then it's time to make a change. And in order to make a change, there's going to have to be some moves. And like I said, that you alluded to, there may be some unpopular decisions at times. But every decision that we make as an organization is to try to put us in a better position. And, you know, we're trying to fix something that is broken. And the fans want a team that's going to win. I mean, they show that because, you know, we have to get fans back into the stadium because, you know, we haven't had their attendance has been low. And I think that the attendance is low because they want to have an opportunity to win. And if they want that, then we're going to have to make some changes. So you're right. It is a balancing act. But, you know, hopefully they understand that, you know, we're trying to put an organization together that is successful.
Well, I know I talked about it last week in our first show. Don't want it to beat it to death, but I think folks would be foolish to believe Derek Jeter isn't going to do everything he possibly can to be a winner and bring a championship back to South Florida. I get it. It might take time. It is not easy to see some of these guys go, but right now it is absolutely the best decision for the organization moving forward. Time to step aside for another break, but stay with us because when we come back, we'll be joined by the newest president of the Baseball Writers Association of America, the BBWAA. He's also the Marlins beat reporter for the Miami Herald. He does a terrific job. That would be Clark Spencer. That's coming up next as we roll on with the Marlins Hot Stove Show, live from the 2017 winter meetings in Orlando on your home for Marlins baseball, 1230 WBZT The Zone and 940 Wins.
Marlins Baseball Hot Stove Talk with Kyle Seeloff is on 1230 The Zone and 940 Wins. Miami Sports.
Welcome back to the Marlins Hot Stove Show tonight, brought to you by Geico on 940 Wins. Saving you money on car insurance has been in Geico's wheelhouse for over 75 years. So after the game, Get a quote at Geico.com. Geico, so easy a caveman can do it. Many thanks to Marlins President of Baseball Operations, Michael Hill, for joining us. Moments ago, we heard from Marlins CEO Derek Jeter via a teleconference following the news that sent and the trade that sent Giancarlo Stanton to the New York Yankees yesterday. The Marlins have gotten prospects back over the course of the last 6 days from the Seattle Mariners for D. Gordon and Giancarlo Stanton yesterday to the New York Yankees. Before we go any further tonight, and another very special guest had an opportunity earlier this afternoon to catch up with the newest president of the Baseball Writers Association of America. That might not ring a bell, but this will. He is the beat writer, and he does a sensational job all year around for the Marlins, for the Miami Herald, Clark Spencer. Okay, joined by the newest president of the Baseball Writers Association of America. He also covers the Marlins for the Miami Herald. It's always a pleasure to chat with Clark Spencer. Clark, as always, thanks for taking some time for us. Some big deals have gone down in the last week, but before we chat about the Marlins, for those that don't know, you are now the president of the Baseball Writers Association of America. What does that entail?
Well, we have about 740 members of the BBWAA, and I think most people know us. Our recognized organization is we're the ones who do the MVP, Cy Young, Manager of the Year, Rookie of the Year voting each year, as well as the Hall of Fame voting in conjunction with the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown.
You were the vice president last year. How does this all come about in regards to becoming the president?
I'll tell you exactly. It's not that I won by popular demand or anything like that. What the BBWA does is they select their president based on chapter, and they rotate the chapter. So, you know, Miami's been a chapter for 25 years, and its turn finally came up to produce or provide the president of the BBWA, and that's how I got on this.
Hundreds of members to tend to. Take us inside some of the BBWAA meetings. What's discussed? Are there controversies that need to be discussed? What new things come up on the docket, and what's the primary goal of these meetings?
Largely what we do are access issues with clubhouse access, working with teams, working with the players' union to assure that we have access to clubhouses, managers, players throughout the course of the season. So a lot of the issues are that. Today, for example, we discussed access during the postseason. And sort of a weird caveat of this beat is it's Every clubhouse and every major league team, as you know, is open before the game to reporters. But once the postseason begins, that rule is getting thrown out, and we no longer have access. So we're trying to see if we can get some access to the clubhouses during the postseason.
How much overlay is there, and will there be between your job now as a beat reporter reporting on a team?
As long as there's no major controversies, you know, involving one of our members or anything like that, or a voting situation, we're good. We have an issue we're dealing with, as a matter of fact, right now with Tyler Chatwood just signed with the Cubs. And there was a clause put into his contract that would give him a $2 million bonus, incentive bonus, if he received so much as one Cy Young vote. Well, we don't want any connection to any bonus incentives in players' contracts based on our votes. Could be a conflict of interest. I mean, one vote is all it takes for him to get a $2 million bonus. We want nothing to do with that, and we're right now trying to rectify that situation with both Chatwood's agent, the union, and MLB to see if we can get that out of there.
Is this a first-time occurrence, or does stuff of this nature pop up frequently?
No, it came up with Curt Schilling, as a matter of fact, with the Red Sox about 10 years ago. And we we received assurances from the league and the players' union that that practice would end. And this is the first time it's come back up again since then.
Okay, so I guess my question to you would be, how would you stop something of this nature from happening again?
We talked to the union. We talked to the league. Again, we received assurances after the Schilling issue that it would never happen again. But here's the thing. If it's not taking out, because we control the Cy Young vote, we will make Chatwood ineligible for the Cy Young Award. So that's the option, you know. And we have a little power, a little leverage in this thing. And I think you'll see it come out eventually.
Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But do you guys have any leverage at all over the Major League Baseball Players Union?
We have they have way more power than we do, you know, as writers.
Very interesting stuff, though. This is all stuff that people may not read about or hear, but it really is some occurrences that are dealt with.
Yeah, you know, a lot of it has to do with, like I said, with the voting, you know, the Cy Young MVP voting. You know, for example, Giancarlo Stanton just won MVP. That was voted on by the baseball writers. So we managed that whole thing. And, yeah, you know, but most of the stuff, it's, you know, it's been around. The organization's been around for so long. I think we're one of the oldest, if not the oldest, sports writers organization.
Transitioning now as we chat with Clark Spencer of the Miami Herald. And again, congratulations to you on becoming the president of the BBWAA. Okay, so the Marlins have already swung two big deals. We'll start with the one last Thursday that sent D. Gordon to Seattle. Giancarlo Stanton officially goes to the Yankees yesterday. What do you make of him?
Look, here's my view of this whole thing. I mean, I've covered the team since 99. I've seen these before. This team needs this to happen. They just couldn't sustain a contract or keep a contract like a Giancarlo Stanton in this market right now. And they need to reboot. They need to rebuild a farm system, which is, you know, really threadbare with talent. I mean, there's just not much down there. And that's how an organization like this is going to succeed over a long term. It's not going to be the kind of organization that's going to be able to go out and play for the high free agent, you know, in the free agent market over the years. So I think this was necessary. I know they're painful. Fans don't like to see their stars leave, you know. It means probably tough times are ahead, obviously, on the field. But, you know, look at the Astros are a perfect example of this.
What other way do you have to win?
Right.
Right.
Marlins are never going to compete with the Yankees, the Cubs, the Dodgers. You know, they have to work in a different area, and that's, you know, with their draft, with these trades to try to acquire prospects, and it had to be done. It was necessary. And, you know, again, fans don't like to hear about it, but that's just the way it works.
Surprised at all by the move that saw D. Gordon sent to Seattle, Clark?
I wasn't, because we've been reporting that the team was going to try to reduce payroll to a lower figure, and in order to get there, he was a likely candidate to be moved, as was Stanton, as is right now Ozuna. So, you know, it didn't surprise me at all. I knew there was probably strong interest within the organization to move Gordon.
How about Giancarlo ending up in New York? How big of a shock was that to you?
Yeah. This has really been a saga here for the last week with, you know, first it was the Cardinals and the Giants, and they met with him, and they'd worked out trades with him, and then he used his no-trade clause to veto those deals, which was totally within his rights to do that. And then, you know, the next thing you know, it's the Yankees. And that's going to be pretty interesting to watch that combination of Stanton and Judge in the Bronx.
All right, so you've got Ozuna, Yelich, Realmuto, Tozawa, Ziegler, Prado, all names that have been floated out there on the rumor mill. Clark, what are you hearing? What do you anticipate happening over the course of the next couple of days at the winter meetings?
Oh, I think Ozuna's definitely going to be traded. I just reported there's about 6 to 8 teams in on him right now. And they'll get a pretty good return on an Ozuna from everything I'm hearing.
Even if he was packaged with, say, a Tozawa or Ziegler?
Well, you're not going to get as much of a return if you package those contracts. So that you have to keep that in mind. But I think Ozuna's definitely get traded. Personally, it's my personal belief that if you're going through a rebuild, which is what they're doing, you shouldn't go halfway. You should go all the way. I think they should strongly consider trading Yelich and Realmuto as well. The reason being, by the time this team is starting to win again, it could be a few years, and those guys, it's going to be time for those guys to walk. So just do the complete rebuild now. I know, you know, a lot of people are just probably moaning hearing that, but
if it's done in the correct fashion and manner, citing the Astros and the Cubs, the Indians, they developed a full organization, and when done correctly, you truly do build an organization all the way from low A all the way up to triple A.
Absolutely. And here's the big thing with me, with the Marlins organization coming over the years. They need to end this cycle, this constant cycle of salary dumping. That's got to be brought to an end. And I think the way that they're going to have to do that is to find a player payroll that's comfortable with this organization. So whether it's $60 million or $70 million, I don't know what the figure would be, but remain at that constant payroll figure. Don't fluctuate wildly up, way up, and then come way down, and you know, this is the way it's going to work. Find a constant payroll figure, stick with it. Fans will then know what they have to work with each year, And that way there won't be all these salary dumps every 4 or 5 years. I mean, those are rough.
Well, another thing, too, that we've heard is why aren't the Marlins getting enough talent back in return? Bottom line, D. Gordon and Giancarlo, especially Stanton, they had millions of dollars attached to them. People mentioning how can you get so little back in return. A couple of teenagers for Giancarlo, but you tell me, what other choice was there unless they took half of Stanton's deal and continued to pay him?
Well, how many teams can afford a $295 million contract? There are very few. Yeah, there's very few.
And he wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah, and he had no trade power. So that really limited to their options. I mean, they had worked out deals. The Marlins had worked out deals with the Giants and the Cardinals for Stanton. Again, it was within his rights. He vetoes those deals. And the next thing, you know, they were left with the Yankees. And, you know, when you give up that much, trade that much money in contract, your return is not going to be as great. Watch what will happen. They'll get a better return back on an Ozuna trade than they will be. They'll get better prospects back on Ozuna than they would have when they got on Stanton.
You got Real Muto, Yelich, Ozuna, some arbitration-eligible guys. Yelich with a very team-friendly deal. If some of these guys get dealt, I've got to imagine we may very quickly start to see a minor league system fill up simply due to the value of some of these guys and what they'll get back in return.
Correct. And if you trade a Ozuna, a Yelich, a Real Muto, you're going to get back strong prospects. And now your minor league system is looking pretty strong all of a sudden from going from what is ranked as one of the worst minor league systems in baseball in terms of talent to one of the very better ones. And so that they've got to start doing a better job of drafting players. They've got to start signing some international free agents with their international pool money. And you know, things could turn around. Look at the Atlanta Braves. You know, this isn't an organization that dominated the NL East for years and years, and they're going through this. They're rebuilding now. Their minor league system is one of the best in the majors.
And the National League East, the Phillies too.
The Phillies as well. They're going to be. You watch the Braves. When you talk around the scouts and everything, they drool over the talent they have in the minors. The Braves are going to be back on top of this division here within a year or two, and they could be there for a long time because these guys are young that they have and are really good.
Tell you what, the National League East may be headed towards being a really fun division as the Nationals continue to try and buy their way to a championship. And some of these other clubs, the Braves and Phillies, being two of them building strong minor league systems.
It could be a fun, tough division. You know, look at the Nationals. They're going to be faced with their own situation next year at this time with Harper. And so he'll be a free agent. And, you know, so their window could be kind of narrowing just a bit as well. Great pitching staff, obviously. But to me, the Braves are a model that the Marlins should try to follow to get back on top. The Braves have gone through a few lean years here, a couple, 3 years, but mark my word, they will be a team to reckon with within a year.
Chatting with Clark Spencer of the Miami Herald. Okay, do you think Ohtani going to L.A. and Stanton being traded sent and triggered a domino effect into motion here with the winter meetings and really lets teams start to wheel and deal now?
Oh, we're already seeing it now. Things have really picked up in terms of the trades. We're seeing trades, signings. It's. I'm not saying the Ohtani and Stanton were blocking, you know, sort of holding up the dam kind of thing, but it does seem to have opened up quite a bit here in the last day or two. And, you know, we've got a couple more days here and before it ends, and you'll probably see a lot more deals before it ends. We could see an Ozuna traded. Who knows?
Mentioned the Marlins signing international free agents, drafting well, moving forward. We've spent so much time talking about who's not going to be here, but what kind of moves, Clark, do you anticipate the Marlins making this winter in regards to signing free agents?
I think they're just going to have to go on the low end of free agency, plug those positions. I mean, right now, the Marlins only have two outfielders on their 40-man roster, Ozuna and Yelich. And obviously, you can't play a game with only two outfielders. And if Ozuna gets traded, now you've got only one outfielder left, Yelich. And so they're going to have to pick up some pieces from other teams, probably low-cost free agents to play those outfield spots and what other spots they have. That, you know, pitching, for example, we may have to see them go get a pitcher or two. And just try to grit your teeth and get through it kind of thing. It might be fun, but you know what? I mean, if I think if fans kind of look at, start taking a hard look at the prospects they get and following them, you're going to see some guys that are going to develop, and you know, it'll be reason to be excited again at some point. But right now, it's going to be kind of a lean couple of years.
On the way out the door, we'll finish on that. What would you tell the fans and maybe the ones that interact with you on Twitter when they say, well, Derek's blowing this whole thing up? What has kind of been your rationale or your answer to, has it been, what do you expect? Like, they have to start over.
They have to start over. I mean, if they had kept last year's team entirely intact, payroll would have gone up to $140 million, which is beyond what it should be. And they still have no pitching.
Yeah.
So if you'd kept Stanton around, they're still no better than they were last year. You still need to address the pitching situation. And until that's answered, there's no point in keeping a Stanton. You know, he was here for 8 losing seasons. They didn't win with him, and it wasn't his fault, but they didn't win with him. And, you know, they have to get pitching, and that's the bottom line. So, you know, they were, what, fifth in the National League in runs scored last year. They were first in the majors in fielding. Obviously, we know what the problem area was, and that has to be fixed.
Clark, we've taken up too much of your time, but it is greatly appreciated. Congratulations again to you on becoming the president of the Baseball Writers Association of America. And as always, thank you for your insight, and we'll chat with you soon.
Anytime, Kyle.
All right, Clark Spencer, he is the man, now the president of the BBWAA, also the Marlins beat writer for the Miami Herald. Very, very good stuff. Chatted with Michael Hill. We heard from Derek Jeter. We have chatted with Clark Spencer. We are going to be up against the clock, but we're going to take one final break. When we come back, we will circulate the rumor mill here in Orlando. That's coming up next when we return in mere moments on your home for Marlins baseball, 1230 WBZT, The Zone, and 940 Wins.
Baseball's burning questions all winter long. Fire up the stove with the Marlins' Kyle Seeloff on 1230 The Zone and 940 Wins. Miami Sports.
Welcome back to the Marlins Hot Stove Show tonight, live from the winter meetings in Orlando, brought to you by Geico. Saving you money on car insurance has been in Geico's wheelhouse for over 75 years. So after the game, get a quote at geico.com. Geico, so easy a caveman can do it. Thank you to Michael Hill. Thank you to Derek Jeter. And thank you to Clark Spencer of the Miami Herald for joining us this evening. We are up against the clock. We got about 1 minute left. But, hey, quickly, let's circulate the rumor mill. As you head to bed tonight, we'll see how things transpire when you wake up in the morning. J.D. Martinez en route to Orlando, one of the hottest free agent hitters on the market. He is set to meet with clubs here in Orlando, whether that's tonight or tomorrow. Elsewhere, how about this name, Manny Machado? Is he on the move? The Orioles are listening to offers. He is expected to be he will be a free agent after this coming season. He has expressed a desire to play shortstop. Elsewhere around Major League Baseball, the Padres are said to have some extreme interest in Eric Hosmer, and that interest is said to be very, very real. This one coming down the line the last couple of hours, the Mets appear likely to keep Matt Harvey in the fold. The Reds fielding more offers on the speedy Billy Hamilton, and the Yanks have traded Chase Headley and right-hander Brian Mitchell to the Padres in exchange for outfielder Jabari Blash. That'll do it for us tonight. For our terrific producer, Ricardo Wanche, I'm Kyle Seeloff saying so long from the winter meetings in Orlando, Florida. We'll see you next Tuesday on your home for Marlins baseball, 1230 WBZT, The Zone, and 940 Wins.